Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, today, Donald Trump will meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House as Zelensky hopes to secure more American military assistance to keep up the pressure. Zelensky's meeting comes following his call with Vladimir Putin yesterday. During that call, the two leaders agreed to meet in Hungary to discuss the war in Ukraine, which I think will have come as an unwelcome surprise to Kyiv. I'm joined now by Donika Bachoin, Professor of Politics at DCU. Donika, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the optics of this, Donald Trump, we knew about the scheduled meeting in the White House with Zelensky, and you probably heard the comments of Hexit yesterday that the U.S. would impose a cost on Russia if they didn't come to the negotiating table about Ukraine. But the optics of it looked like Donald Trump was kind of getting his instructions from Putin before meeting Zelensky.
Well, the optics look very bad from beginning to end. You only have to compare how Vladimir Putin was fated when he came to Alaska, the U.S. Army rolling out the red carpet and Donald Trump waiting for him on the tarmac, clapping his hand. Zelensky arrived almost unnoticed yesterday in the U.S. There was nobody of significance really waiting for him at the airport. And he'll meet, as you say, Donald Trump today. Now, this sounds like Alaska Part 2. You might remember during the summer, I mean, Donald Trump was pivoting more towards Ukraine because he was frustrated with the fact that, you know, there had been an escalating attacks on Ukraine from Russia, despite, you know, Putin's hints that he was interested in a peace process. And, you know, he threatened sanctions. He threatened debilitating sanctions, both on Russia and on those who are trading with Russia, like China and India. And then Putin reached out and said, well, let's have a summit. Let's discuss all of this. And there was even hints that Zelensky might participate in a tripartite meeting. And you will remember that nothing came of that summit, despite huge hype. And this is now the first phone call last night between Putin and Trump, the first direct communication since that meeting. But in Ukraine, there's just been escalating attacks on the infrastructure as we approach winter. So for months now, I mean, let's put it this way. Donald Trump has been president now for the better part of this year. And since the beginning, he's been saying that he's on the verge, on the cusp of a great agreement with Putin. And every time he says that, there's been an escalation. And here we are again. He's saying there was great progress with this meeting last night. And the timing is, of course, not coincidental. Putin has reached out. This is clearly at Putin's initiative. He's reached out to Trump because of this talk of Tomahawks being supplied to Ukraine. And he's trying to, again, dangle the carrot of some great breakthrough. And there are talks now, of course, of a summit in Budapest in a couple of weeks' time.
Hosted, one presumes, by Viktor Orban, who's a pal of Putin's. So that's where we're at.
That's where Putin again gains symbolically. With Alaska, he was, you know, taken out of isolation and welcomed into the United States, you know, greeted by Trump himself. Putin again gaining symbolically here because this will be Putin's first visit to the EU since the war began. And of course, he's been hosted by the EU's bête noire, Viktor Orban, who's presenting it as a great triumph for Hungary, as an island of peace. You know, Orban, of course, presents himself as a friend of both Trump and Putin. But it's more like that Hungary is becoming a safe haven for war criminals because, of course, as a signatory to the Rome Statute, they should have arrested Benjamin Netanyahu, who was invited by Orban earlier this year. Instead, they said they're leaving the International Criminal Court. And that, of course, facilitates this meeting because if they were still part of that process, they would have to arrest Vladimir Putin on arrival, as would happen in any other part of the EU. And this, of course, follows a trend that Putin is again testing the boundaries. After that judgment of the International Criminal Court issuing a warrant for Putin's arrest, the first place he visited was Mongolia. And Mongolia, of course, is also a signatory to the Rome Statute, but it's very much under pressure from China and Russia. So there was no way small Mongolia, with a population smaller than Ireland's, was going to stand up to Putin. And he's doing the same again. He's really outplaying Trump.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Now, the question of good cop, bad cop, where we had the Secretary of War, as he likes to characterize himself, Hegseth, threatening Russia with some sort of punishment. What do you make of that? Is that good cop, bad cop, or was Hegseth just talking off the top of his head?
No, it's what Trump does as well. I mean, Trump has used expletives when referring to Putin in the recent past, saying that I can't repeat it on radio, but more or less saying that Putin is feeding him nonsense, that he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. And then he pivots towards Ukraine. But all it takes is a phone call from Putin, as it did last night. And you get this very upbeat, very optimistic talk of again, progress. And he says how Putin congratulated him on his recent breakthrough in the Middle East, saying it was something that had been dreamed about for centuries. I'm pretty sure Putin didn't use that language. And actually, the Kremlin readout is somewhat more downbeat on that. But, you know, he also refers to in his post this great prospect of trade between Russia. He says, we spent a great deal of time talking about trade between Russia and the United States when the war with Ukraine is over. And again, this is what Putin is dangling in front of him. He's saying, you know, so it's I mean, Trump thinks he's, of course, trying to outsmart Putin. He's thinking that the carrot is the prospect of trade and normalization of relations between Russia and the US, whatever the EU thinks about it, of course, they're not even in the room. And the stick is the threat of supplying enhanced military technology like Tomahawks, which he's done recently. So from Trump's perspective, he thinks that, you know, Putin is coming to the table again because of the threat of Tomahawks. But, you know, I think in this case, again, it's Putin who has the better measure of Trump and has done a better psychological profile, because Trump ultimately is not in this for the long haul, whereas Putin is.
Now, the question of those Tomahawks, I mean, no decision has been made yet to give them those long range missiles, which would have a range that would bring them well into Russia and be able to pick off targets that are a really critical part of the war effort in terms of logistics and supplies and drone production and all the rest of it. It was always the case, I think, that if America was to effectively arm Ukraine, that that would have put a stop to Russia's gallop. But America, since Trump came in, has steadfastly refused to take that deterrent move.
Oh, absolutely. And even this talk of Tomahawks, this isn't about the US supplying Ukraine with Tomahawks. This is about allowing Europe, the European Union members, to buy Tomahawks from the Americans, who would then be given to Ukraine to defend themselves. So this isn't an act of charity in any way. And it looks like it's not even going to take place. These weapons would be not necessarily a game changer, because we've said that many times before with things like F-16s and Leopard tanks, but they do have a great accuracy. They travel at very low altitude. They're usually undetectable. They can be changed. They can change their target, you know, mid-flight, and therefore the Russians, whereas they have their own version of a Tomahawk, it's not on the same level of sophistication as what the Americans could potentially supply. So this is what brought, you know, as I said, Vladimir Putin again to the table, but he realizes that now he's bought himself again a couple of weeks by this prospect of a summit in Budapest. And as I said, it's an open question of whether the Ukrainians will ever see those Tomahawks.
It's extraordinary that, you know, Trump is not one for giving anything to anybody for nothing. And the only country that is a beneficiary of charity from Trump is Israel. Everybody else, even former staunch allies, they have to pay. That's his rule.
That's right. Though others have said that because of this alleged breakthrough, let's put it that way, in the Israel-Palestinian conflict, that he's now going to focus his efforts more on Ukraine, and that it's been said quite openly that he'll take on the Ukraine war next. I mean, it has to be again remembered that during his election campaign, he said no less than 53 times, it was CNN who did the counting, that he would solve the war in Ukraine within 24 hours. hours. And I think that that's the kind of level of attention span he sometimes has on the conflict. It's notorious that he always seems to be influenced by the last person he spoke to. And again, that makes the challenge for Europe ever greater. It underlies the weakness in European security. I mean, why is Europe not able to address this problem themselves? I mean, Kaja Kallas was talking yesterday, the EU foreign policy chief, of creating an anti-drone wall to protect Europe from Russian drones by 2027. But this is 4 years into Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So Europe is still relying on America. Ukraine ultimately is still relying on America. And we have a very unpredictable Donald Trump at the helm.
Now, question, how is Putin going to get to Budapest? Surely he needs to transit through Ukrainian or Romanian airspace to get there. Neither will permit that transit. That's according to Connor in Dublin. This one, the fool that is Trump is once again fooled by Putin. Putin sees that Ukraine will get weapons from the US that will threaten him, so he teases Trump with another meeting. Once again, Ukraine gets screwed. And watch how Trump will be left with nothing after his meeting. But he'll try to spin it as a great triumph for himself. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But that is the question. Either Trump is a total idiot, which some people believe he is, or there is compromat at play at the hands of the Russians, that they have the goods on him.
Well, that's a belief that many people have, because otherwise it's very difficult to understand why Trump gives Putin the benefit of the doubt so often. As I said, after every meeting, Putin dangles this carrot of peace and diplomacy. And it's quite clear, the statistics speak for themselves. The level of drones, the number of drones and missiles which are entering Ukrainian airspace has reached ever greater numbers, greater than at any point since the conflict. So you know how Trump is always bragging that this war would never have started if he had been president, because it was weak Joe Biden at the helm. But in fact, this war has escalated, as I said, in terms of nightly attacks to an unprecedented level on his watch, and he hasn't been able to stop that. Connor, by the way, makes a great point, that listener, about how is Putin going to reach Budapest, for that very reason, yes, that there are no flights between Russia and the European Union, and Hungary is still in the European Union. So I'm not sure how he can make it by plane, and he's certainly not going to make it by train, because he'd have to probably go through Ukraine, which, again, would be an interesting prospect. He might have to go through Istanbul, but again, that would be a very laborious thing. It might be, again, just testing the ground, seeing how much the EU will protest. Will they get in the way of peace? Because that's the Kremlin narrative. They reiterated it last night. They said, we have an understanding. Donald Trump is the only man really who understands the root causes of the conflict, and we have an understanding with him. It's Europe and Kyiv, as they keep saying, the Kyiv regime, who are getting in the way of peace.
Donico Bakhoin, Professor of Politics at DCU, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.